This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Obviously, you know, the political impact of whether the Connecticut Sun leave for Boston is a huge story. But really dominating politics this summer has been the first congressional district held by John Larson for a long, long time. There are three official entrants in the Democratic primary against Larson. That's primarying a multi-term incumbent, including two-term mayor Luke Bronin. You have Ruth Fortune from Hartford, and you have from Southington, Jack Perry, and you maybe have Jillian Gilchrist, who is state rep from West Hartford. It's fascinating that this is happening, and there's a lot of angles to it to discuss. I want to discuss that and a bunch of other things with Mike Cerulli from Capitol Report. He does the tip sheet every Monday. It's become a real must-read for a lot of politicos here in Connecticut, and of course, WTNH. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Great to be back on.
So listen, I mean, this is pretty stunning when you really look at it from afar. How surprised are you at all of this? And maybe handicap, which is the biggest surprise, you know, in terms of whether it's Larson on his heels or Larson energized or Bronin. You'd heard the grumblings for a while. What about the others? Are they now sort of frozen out when they thought maybe they had an opportunity?
Yeah, I think at this point, it's important probably not to count anything out, right, given how unpredictable our politics have proven to be in the last, you know, decade, basically, in this country. But I think Luke Bronin is definitely, he ratchets up the stakes of this race, not only because of his name recognition, his ability and experience campaigning, but also his ability to raise money. I mean, raising more than half a million dollars in the first 24 hours of a campaign really signals that fundraising prowess that he demonstrated in two runs as Hartford mayor. He has not lost that. If anything, he might have grown his network in the time since he first ran for Hartford. And now he's very tied into national Democratic figures like Governor Westmore of Maryland. I would not be surprised if at the same time as John Larson brings Democratic House Leader Hakeem Jeffries and others into campaign for him. I wouldn't be surprised if those same visits are running parallel to visits from people like Wes Moore supporting Luke Bronin. Ratchet up the race.
So like Wes Moore, obviously a fellow veteran and potential presidential candidate who's the governor of Maryland. That was sort of my question. Do you think he will take establishment Democrats away from Larson? But it sounds like he'll take the young Democratic established people away, but Larson will keep the old ones.
I think it's going to be interesting to see like the demographic breakdown, particularly, you know, people I think have really focused on how Hartford is going to vote in this election. I'm much more interested in how West Hartford is going to vote in this election, because if you look at that district, the profile of a West Hartford voter is probably much closer to the median voter, particularly in a Democratic primary, than anything else. And those tend to be, I mean, they're not old, they're not senior citizen voters on average, but they're closer to middle age, and you know, in a much different situation than, you know, someone of my generation who's, you know, still unmarried, still living, you know, in, you know, kind of their first or second living situation versus in a house. But anyways, the point being is those are the sort of more established voters with kids, with college education, living in a suburb. That's kind of the normative voter in that district, in a primary particularly. And I'm really not sure how they're going to break down. You could see an argument where they side with a Larson figure, someone who is established and someone who is known. You could also see them jumping over to sort of a younger candidate in Luke Bronin. And you certainly, particularly in West Hartford, could see them siding with their hometown state representative, Jillian Gilchrist.
Right. So, you know, it's interesting. We're having Jack Perry on later this hour, and we'll have Ruth Fortune on next week. And you brought up Jillian Gilchrist. You know, does she, I mean, to me, it would take a lot of guts to enter, to be another entrant in this race. But everyone who talks about her says she's formidable. Is that because she has real progressive bona fides, and that's where the Democratic Party is leaning. Like, why would she enter at this point when she doesn't have the name recognition of Bronin, and there's a lot of people already in?
Look, I think Luke Bronin, when he announced his campaign, very much focused on a generational message, very much focused on the idea that he believes the Democratic Party needs to do better delivering its message. What he didn't quite draw a contrast with John Larson on was, what exactly does the Democratic Party message need to be? He gave some kind of general points that I think 90% right. of Democrats and elected Democrats would agree with about wealth inequality and things like that. But are there specific things that John Larson had done that Luke Bronin would do differently in terms of the voting record? I think, I don't want to speak for her, but I think Julian Gilchrist might, as a more progressive, a more outspoken progressive, might be someone who could draw that contrast or create that contrast in a different way from Luke Bronin. I also think, and you know, Ruth Fortune could also speak to this, but I think that there is definitely still, even, 10 or so years after that sort of post-Trump movement in 2016, 2017, 2018, I still do think there's a desire among a lot of Democratic primary voters to see female leadership in their highest ranks. Hmm. So I think you can't discount that either.
So what, I mean, again, without sort of, you know, you'll break a news if you get it, but do you still think it's a medium likelihood, high likelihood, low likelihood that she jumps into?
I would say, you know, medium high. This is based on conversations with people who've spoken to her, based on conversations with people who've kind of are sort of in that sphere of the 25 or 27 or so towns that are in that district who kind of all, there's definitely a game of telephone that goes on between them. Like I said, a lot of these communities have similar kind of profiles in the Hartford County suburbs, and they know each other, and they're talking about this.
Yeah, and I think you're right to point out, you know, everyone says, oh, the Hartford vote's so important. I mean, I think the West Hartford vote is massively important in that district and might even be more important. We're talking with Mike Cerulli for Capital Report and WTNH. Again, you go to Capital Report on Mondays. Right at like 6 a.m., he posts his tip sheet, usually a ton of insider info. That he writes a lot on CT1, a little bit on the governor's race with Ryan Fazio, which if we have time, I will ask. But I have a simple question as it relates to the Connecticut Sun and Lamont. If the state loses this WNBA franchise, is there a political price that Lamont will pay?
I don't think so, because I don't think people look to the governor of their state to keep a professional sports team.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
You know, I don't think that's the type of thing that people are thinking that Lamont is responsible for if it does happen.
Okay, and Fazio, he's made another, not a concrete step, but it's another step toward running. I mean, where do we stand on handicapping that?
I think he's almost certainly running for governor. I think that the filing of an exploratory committee is definitely something you do. Sometimes people do it if they're not sure if they want to run or not. They're testing interest, hence the word exploratory. But a lot of people also do it as a stepping stone So that they can, there are certain kind of procedural and campaign finance advantages that filing as an exploratory give you before you, especially if you're planning on being a publicly financed candidate, using that system of fund matching and fund granting that the state has. So I think everything I've heard from people who have talked to him from sources that are familiar with this, he is definitely someone who's very strongly on the path of running for governor. And, you know, he's going to put up a fight in that primary. He has a lot of Republican legislators, his fellow legislators, who are very supportive of him. I think that there are two of them in particular that are going to be making some media appearances this week, essentially as surrogates for his campaign in waiting. And that is just going to be the start, I think, of a pretty energetic campaign. And I think right next to Connecticut First Congressional District, you're going to have this Republican primary as sort of a marquee battle in our state over the next year. Because, again, and obviously we've talked about, you have Bronin and Larson and others potentially. And then in this race for the GOP nomination, at least you're going to have Aaron Stewart, Ryan Fazio, if they both transition over to full campaigns. You already have Westport's Jen Tooker. And this could really just it could get all of these races could ratchet up very fast.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun. I think a Republican race for the nomination is going to be a lot of fun. We got to run. Mike, thanks as always for the insight and the time.
Great to be here.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.